Well, I'm here with Raymond Francis. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what your role is at JPL and how that's led you back to Western?
Yeah, so of course people familiar with Western Worlds know me as one of the correspondents and the interviewers and for a few seasons the host of Western Worlds. And I did that while I was a graduate student and a postdoc here at Western. But after that I moved in 2016, earlier this year, to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, where I'm now a scientific applications software engineer in the machine learning and instrument autonomy group. And so my role there is in the operation and the development of planetary exploration robotic missions, and in particular the application of science autonomy systems that allow those missions to operate more autonomously from direct ground-in-the-loop control from the Earth. So for this simulation here, I'm here partly as a co-investigator on the science operations experiments, and partly as a representative of JPL and of the Mars 2020 rover mission in what we're calling simulation assurance, making sure that this analog mission is as close to what we would run in the real mission, that it is providing a real simulation that is realistic in all of the appropriate ways, so that it is most relevant as an experiment for planning 2020.
Why don't you explain to us a little bit about how your experience here compares to your experience with MSL?
Yeah, so I think it's readily seen when you're working in the analog mission control that the way we have got things set up has led the team to work in a manner that is actually pretty similar to how the science team on a real mission works. Mm. And you can see them making similar decisions, employing similar strategies, and using the instruments in realistic ways. And, you know, the reason that I'm here is to make sure that the ground rules are appropriate, and then to see what tactical decisions and strategic choices emerge from having those ground rules and the instrument set of tools that they have here.
How has your experience with MSL informed how you help the team here? And is there anything you can take back from your experience here back to MSL?
Yeah, so of course working on MSL has taught me a lot about how we actually do things on Mars and what's realistic. What can you actually ask for and what can actually be achieved with a robotic system? One of the things is knowing when you need Earth in the loop. Mm-hmm. And also which kinds of tools can be used in which ways and what their capabilities are like. And so I brought that here in my sort of simulation assurance role to help inform the way we run things here and to make sure that when the team is asking for something in the simulated mission, that it's something that they could realistically do on Mars. And there are a few corners that we cut because the mission is only 3 weeks long, and we want to make sure that the parts that are realistic are the parts that matter. So some things are happening a little faster than they might really happen on Mars, but these are things that we understand and that we don't need to test. This experiment absolutely will inform how we do things on coming missions. It's deliberately an experiment in the sample caching mission that Mars 2020 will do, exploring a similar kind of environment with as close to the same kind of instrument suite that we would have. We have contact instruments that replicate Sherlock and Pixel. We have standoff instruments replicating the Mastcam and the Supercam suite. And we've learned that combination of remote and standoff science, having that very much changes the way you explore a place as compared to not having those systems. The utility of the ChemCam instrument on MSL was a big change to how we do exploration. And so we wanted to make sure that the instrument suite was well represented here. And because we're getting practice exploring a place with those systems and similar goals to 2020, we're learning some strategies about how to do this and about the kinds of decisions that you find yourself having to make. And that stuff will absolutely feed into 2020. In fact, I'm working on a team at the Mars 2020 Mission Science Office to define how we will do science operations and how we will train the science team to make decisions and explore the landing site. And we'll absolutely take lessons from this.
You mentioned that a large part of what you're looking at is autonomous science. So maybe you could tell us what you mean by that and also why that's such a big interest in this case.
So science autonomy is more and more a focus for exploration missions. The farther you get from the Earth, the more the realities of the motions of the planets and the limited speed of light restrict you from being able to teleoperate and telecommand things. You can imagine that if you were doing a flyby of a comet or an asteroid, and that entire flyby from the time the small body was more than one pixel across in your camera to the time that you saw it at close approach and to the time that it was only a pixel in the distance again, that might only be a few hours. And if that happened in a part of the solar system where you were a few light hours away from the Earth, then Earth cannot be in the loop for that activity, right? There are a lot of similar situations like that throughout the solar system where waiting for Earth to be in the loop either greatly slows down the operation or prevents the operation altogether. It's therefore important that a robotic mission be smart enough to know something of what the science team would want it to do. Which observations should it take? Which things should it focus on? Should it do something now or at a different time or at a different place? There are a lot of scenarios like that, and that's what we talk about science autonomy. Any time that a spacecraft is empowered to make choices about which data to gather, or having gathered it, which data to prioritize to send to Earth. One of the lead examples that I often give is the Aegis software system, which is on Opportunity and Curiosity rovers. And on I'm part of the Aegis team, and what the software allows on Curiosity is for the rover to be commanded to drive into a new place that has never been before, take images with its navigation cameras, select in those images rocks that it can recognize by computer vision, and choose the rock that best matches what it thinks the science team would want, then immediately make a ChemCam measurement of it. And what that means is that the team on Earth can get geochemical spectra almost as soon as they get the information that the drive was completed. Ordinarily, you would complete the drive, take the photos, send the photos to Earth for people to choose which rocks to measure, and then create ChemCam commands and send them up. And of course, it's great to have the science team in the loop, and when you can, you do. But there are certain times during the mission, there are certain phases where that comes at the cost of a few days' wait. Aegis allows you to get more data or to get the data faster. And so it can be a better use of your time on Mars, which is valuable time. So this is what we talk about with science autonomy. And for 2020, we're going to have a very ambitious mission. We have a lot of samples to collect and only 2 or 3 years to do it. And we know that we're going to have to be quick and efficient, and we're going to have to make the best use of our time, especially if we're challenged by limited communications pathways to Earth. And so giving the rover the ability to quickly gather data on its own may absolutely help speed things up and be enabling for that mission.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for speaking to us. It's been great having you back here, mm-hmm. and you've been very helpful in all aspects of the mission. So that experience has really helped us, certainly.
Well, thanks. And it's great to be back for a little while and to see just how successful the team here at Western has got with these mission simulations. I started here 6 years ago now, a little more than 6 years ago, on our very early missions, and they've become higher fidelity really quite impressive. So it's great to see that progress.